Attention to the Atlanta Braves, and the general manager of the Atlanta Braves, Alex Anthopoulos, has been kind enough to jump on the waitfor.com hotline and join us for a few minutes. Alex, welcome to the show.
Glad to be on.
So are you actually in San Diego?
No, I'm actually in Atlanta. Because we had all those roster moves on the Sunday, normally I'd head back a few days before the end of Florida and get some time with family and pack up and all that, but it just was really going down to the wire, so I stayed in Florida a little longer, drove back, and getting a couple days with family and heading out tomorrow morning.
Yeah, no, I totally get it here. I mean, but it is baseball eve. So every year, I mean, it never gets old, Alex. Every year, baseball eve, what is it nerves? Is it anxiety? Is it excitement? What's going through Alex Anthopoulos?
Yeah, I'd say I'd probably use the word stress. More of you realize, you know, it's. I was talking to Smith about it. I'm like, here we go again. And I was kind of just recounting after every game. We got to make this move, that move. Trainer's walking in the office. You know, the trainer comes in most time after a game. Let's say I'm in Smith's office and we're sitting talking, and you see the trainer walk through the door. He's not walking in to say, "I got unbelievable news for you. Great win, guys." He's always got the somber look on his face, like I have bad news to deliver. So there's going to be a lot of nights like that. There's going to be nights with tough losses. But look, that's also, you know, the excitement of great wins too. But it's knowing that my life and my family's life is going to be pretty intense for the next 6-7 months because it is a job and a career. But at the same time, I'm excited to get the year going. But the NL is going to be absolutely a meat grinder. It's going to be very competitive. So, you know, we're going to try to win every game that we can.
Yeah, you may argue 4 best teams in baseball are in the NL, and 3 of those are in your division. Yeah, okay. I really never thought about that, Alex, about the fact that the traitors, he ain't the dude you want to see. He's like the dude with, like, the black hood and the sickle walking around knocking on doors. No. No, thanks.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, look, I mean, I always tell people when they get the GM job, you know, you're putting out fires, right? So nobody, especially during the season, anybody that comes to you, you know, unless you're doing media or something, they're delivering bad news and it's escalated up to you and you've got to deal with something. You've got to get something fixed. Something went wrong. And you're getting that all year 24/7. If you're getting phone calls from agents, trainers, something's going on, you're always dealing with bad news. And you just kind of start to prepare yourself for it, condition yourself for it. So I'm not trying to make it like it's terrible. It's a great job, 1 of 30. But you know that you're putting out fires every day and you're trying to get to the finish line and get back to the playoffs.
All right, we're talking with Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Braves. Tomorrow, Braves and Padres at Petco Park in San Diego to kick off the year. Before we get into this year's team, and I do have a number of questions about that, I want to go, Alex, back to the end of last year. I got to have you got to tell me, how in the world did you, the coaches, the players, the trainers, the organization, pull off 89 wins and a playoff spot out of that mess?
Yeah, I was, you know, you realize how grateful you are to have made the postseason the other years to win the division. And look, there's an expectation now as it should be, you know, and it's a relief, really, when you get in. And look, we had excuses. We could have pointed to the injuries. Our players certainly could have. And as a young GM, you start thinking that way. Well, you know, we're not going to make it. I have this excuse, that excuse. But I don't know, you get later into your career and nobody wants to hear it, right? Or you just realize that everyone's going through it. No one cares. Our job is to find a way. And it makes for a miserable summer when you're not competing, you're not contending, you're not trying. I've been there before. The players start to check out. They're worried about fantasy football that comes up. And just, you know, people start looking at everything and pointing fingers and so on. And that's why having a good clubhouse is important. I've always said it doesn't guarantee winning, but it allows the floor not to cave in when things are going bad. Because if you have a bad clubhouse and things aren't going well, it gets really bad. And I've seen it firsthand. So, look, we were really fortunate last year where Whit Merrifield signed an $8 million contract with the Phillies, got released, and turned it around with us. Ramon Laureano signed for over $5 million with Cleveland Guardians, got released, turned it around with us. Giovanni Urshela signed to be the starting third baseman with Detroit, got released, signed with us. And they all played well. And that was why you saw us do things like Alex Verdugo and so on. We can't, one, bank on guys staying healthy anymore. We hope so. But two, we can't just expect these guys to be released, play the way they did. It worked out. We're grateful for it. But realistically, you know, we're trying to stay ahead of it and get as much depth as we can.
All right, so let's turn our attention to now. So when I ask you about the three players, and I'm going to ask you about Sean Murphy, Spencer Strider, and Ronald Acuna Jr., you know, when you expect them to be back and healthy. But I also would like you to kind of give us a unique little perspective for that question, because through your eyes, Alex, are these guys, are you looking going, okay, they're not only going to be back, but they're going to hit the ground running.
Yeah, I'd say so. Sean Murphy, look, he was unbelievable first half of 23. I think he had just under 1,000 OPS or right at 1,000. Starting catcher for the All-Star game, he had never done that before in his career, so I don't think that's fair. But I think an 800 OPS, he was a 5-war player, great defender, and so on. And second half of 23, and then last year with the oblique, I hate to say it was a lost season because he came back and played. He just didn't end up playing to the level he had before. We did do a bunch of studies and analysis on the impact of obliques and so on. And I know it sounds like an excuse, and I didn't ask anybody to do it. It was brought to my attention that there are effects and there are impacts. And it's unfortunate with the cracked rib. I was at the game. He got hit in the back, and he kept playing, and he played through it. But there's nothing that tells me when you look at his career and the body of work, what we saw last year, and the half of 23, he had never done that before. And this is still a young man, great tools, great talent. I think Sean Murphy absolutely will be back to the player he was. The way Strider looked that first game was vintage Cy Young candidate Strider. The second game, not as sharp, but still very good stuff. So I don't want to put expectations on these guys, but he looks fantastic. And Ronald, I think the fact that we're taking it slower and we're building up that foundation even more, and he's not trying to push, because he really did push in 2022 to get back. To hold him back was very challenging, and he was cleared by the doctor, but we all saw he was a good player, not a great player. So he's hitting a ton, looks great in BP and so on. I don't know what we're going to get from Ronald. I expect him to be very good. MVP level might be a little high, but I think we're definitely going to get a better version than we saw in 22.
All back by end of April, maybe, or is that too soon?
Yeah, I would say Ronald at this point, I don't think you're going to see April. So I haven't ever announced that anywhere or said anything, but I think with where we're at now, that doesn't mean it can't be, early May, but I don't think you're going to see a return with April in that date. He's playing in games in Florida unextended. He's getting plenty of at-bats. I'm getting box scores daily. He needs to get cleared to do outfield work. And I think once he gets cleared to do that and really step on it and being able to chase balls down, run the braces aggressively and do all those things that they feel like the foundation is there, he'll then he'll transition at some point to a rehab assignment. And at that point, I don't expect it to be long because he'll have had at-bats, and it won't be about getting his timing. It'll just be about getting his legs strong enough to play 9 innings in the field multiple days in a row. So Strider, going to make his first rehab start in Charlotte on the road for Gwinnett on Saturday. His pitch count got up to 45 that last spring outing, and we're hoping to get him into the fourth inning now. The pitch count maybe gets close to 60. We haven't set a number. Could get to 60. On average, you bump up 15 each outing, and if that goes well and he does well, then hopefully you get to the fifth, the following one, which will be 5 or 6 days after that, and maybe you're getting a 70, 75. And then we'll just see how he feels. And I think once you to the point that you feel like he can go long enough and deep enough to help the big league team, as long as he feels like he's ready to be activated and come back, then we'll have a conversation. But he will absolutely be a part of the process. And we know that once we activate him, the kid gloves are off. He's going to have to be available, 5-man rotation, being able to go 5-6 innings or more. So we just want to make sure that foundation is set because he's getting very, very close.
You mentioned Alex Anthopoulos, the name Alex Verdugo here. You got Alex Verdugo. You got Kimbrel back again. You got Jesse Chavez back for, I think, the 19th time. Are these like, depth veteran moves, or are you looking at these guys saying, look, we want these guys to impact this team right now this year, big time?
I think it's just timing. I think you try certain guys, you're trying to sign them early in the winter. It's just, for whatever reason, these guys sign a minor league deals. Obviously, Verdugo signed a big league deal, but agreed to be optioned. He made close to $9 million last year. He's not going to make that now in 25. He's trying to have a bounce back season, but he's a young man at 28. And it really goes back to last year. We really think we had good fortune that, one, not only did those players become available in Urshela, Merrifield, and Ramon Laureano, they became available, and two, we got them to sign with us, and three, we got them to play well. So it doesn't happen that often. Sure, guys come available, they might sign with you, they may not play well. Look, we tried it with Eddie Rosario last year. He didn't end up playing well. So it doesn't always work. So we're always trying to be proactive beyond the front end of things. It's timing. You don't know when these guys are going to come available. But at the end of spring training, it's an easier conversation to have that, look, you know, if you're going to play, and this, I'm addressing this to players that you're signing, if you're going to play, you're going to have to go to the minor leagues at some point because spring training's over and no one's going to sign you off the couch and put you right into a big league game. You need some type of form of spring training. So with James McCann, Craig Kimbrell, Verdugo, and so on, we think these guys can certainly help us and impact us in 25. We'll get them ready to go. We'll see how they do in Gwinnett, but we're going to need all these guys. We know that, and we're just excited to be able to get them early rather than having to react in season.
Braves GM Alex Anthopoulos with John Fricke on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game. You mentioned five-man. Is that what we're going to start with Strider, you know, not ready yet? You're going to go with, you know, the Sale and Schwellenbach, Lopez, and then what? How does it stack right now for you?
Yeah, we're going to go with a five-man unless we feel guys need days. So right now you can just assume that the five that we have, we're going to roll with that. So Sale gets game one and game six. So that would be normal rest. And as we have off days and so on, we're going to take advantage of those. If at some point we think we can build in a spot start. But again, that was very challenging last year. To do it, you have to take someone out of your bullpen. So you go from an eight-man bullpen to a seven. You need to have someone that has options to do it. You have to bring that spot starter up that you believe can help you win a game, has to be good enough to do that, have them pitch for a day, then send them back down. And again, when you go down, you're out, you're not available for 2 weeks. And then you have to bring another reliever up that you think is still viable for you for that period. So it's challenging. You need quality depth. And the worst thing that we can do is, oh, we want to build an extra day's rest and go to a six-man rotation, and that spot starter, six starter, comes in and throws two innings and destroys our bullpen. To dig out of that is a real issue. So there's a lot of times we're just not in a position to do it, and we didn't do it the last 2 months of the year last year because we didn't have the options. We would have to DFA guys to get rid of them in our bullpen. So for now, there's a lot of off days in April. We're just going to stick with a five-man. Guys like A.J. Smith-Sharver do have options. He's going to have to continue to perform to stay up. But we're optimistic and excited with what we saw in spring training, and hopefully he gets a nice long run here until Strider's back, and then we'll see who the best guy is. I mean, if Smith-Sharver's throwing better than Grant Holmes, then we know Grant Holmes has experience to be in the bullpen, but we're going to take the best five, and whoever's throwing the best is going to stay in there.
I do want to talk about the offense, but I can't go without talking about the bullpen here. At the beginning of the year, besides Iglesias as the closer here, is 7 and 8 and 9, however you're going to stack that back into the bullpen, you know, the old night shift here, is that kind of, you know, is that, I don't want to say that you're auditioning guys, but is that in flux a little bit, or are you pretty much set that, hey, I know who, you know, or Brian knows who 6, 7, 8, 9 are going to be?
No, I think that's very fair. And look, that we knew once you did, last year was Joe Jimenez's A.J. Minter at the start of the year, lockdown, guys you felt very good about. Pierce Johnson coming off his 23 season, you felt very, very good about the depth there. Now, look, we thought we had our bullpen was still strong at the end of the year. We lost A.J. Minter for essentially the month of August, September, and into October. So we had lost him for the last third, and we still felt we had a good bullpen because Dylan Lee and Aaron Bummer did a nice job from the left side. So we need guys like Daisbell Hernandez. You know, Pierce Johnson didn't throw as well at the end of the year. We think he's back to throwing like he did early and like he did in 23. So if Pierce can now be back to who he was, Daisbell Hernandez did a nice job as well. Anaris, with his experience, he saved a lot of games for the Cubs, pitched well for the Astros. Eniel De Los Santos has a fantastic arm. But look, there's definitely an element of unknown there. There's volatility there. You know, I've asked Snit the same question you did. How you feeling? We have a 3-1 lead, and starter goes 5 or 6, especially early. You know, starters aren't going that deep. They're going to monitor the pitch count and so on. How are we lining up 6, 7, 8, 9? And you know, he's going to go with what he feels like. But he also understands it might take a little bit of time to feel out how it's going to go. And you don't want to use the word experiment, like you said, or audition and so on. But, you know, he's had to adjust over time. Last year, Daisbell Hernandez worked his way into getting late-inning opportunities. And, you know, I remember that game against the Marlins. Season's on the line. Every game counted. bases loaded, he brought him in, and there was a lot of other guys in the bullpen, and he believed in him. So he's made adjustments on the fly in the past. We wouldn't have thought Ramon Laureano would be a starting outfielder for us, and he was. He beat out Kelnick, beat out Adam Duvall. He was playing the best. So I do think you're going to see guys like Dylan Lee late in the game. I think Pierce Johnson late in the game. I don't want to speak for Snit. I think after that, whether it's De Los Santos, Neris, Daisbell Hernandez, Bummer, I think it'll depend on how some of the scouting reports are, guys susceptible to velocity or to off-speed or left-handed sink and things like that. But he'll find his way through it. Hopefully these guys get the job done for him. And we've got a chance to have a strong pen, but we don't necessarily have the certainty that we felt we had in years past.
A couple quick more questions for Alex Anthopoulos, and we really appreciate his time on 90.9 The Game. I do want to go to the offense. We know what we're getting when we'll worry about Acuna when he gets back and gets healthy, and we know what we're getting out of, you know, Olson and certainly Ozzie in terms of their being able to perform at a certain level offensively. So three guys in particular. Michael Harris, are you ready to him to explode into, we're talking about best center fielder in the game. Is Austin Riley ready to explode into a legit MVP candidate? And what do we expect out of Profar?
Yeah, they've got the talent to do all those things. The way Harris played at the end of the year was awesome. We need him to do it over 6 months now and stay healthy. The last 2 years, he's missed some time, and he's so critical and so important, and staying on the field is important. Riley, the same way. We were able to pinpoint exactly what was going on. Remember, we had a five-game streak of losses. We were playing the Orioles. His OPS was down in the sixes, low sixes, I think, for Riley. And when we got back home, the R&D department and so on found something. We brought it to Kevin Seitzer. He agreed with it. And just pointing it out to Austin, and I'm sure there's plenty of other work beyond there, but it kind of clicked back to who he was, and he was back to the all-star candidate, one of the best third basemen in the game. So, and Jurickson Profar, just the quality of at-bats. Switch hitter is huge for us. Contact bat, draws his walks. You know, we really saw it last year, game one of the postseason against the Padres, against King, who we're going to face tomorrow. All right-handed hitters, pretty much, because Albies was hitting only from the right side. We had Harris and Olson, but the rest of the guys were all right. And his breaking ball to righties is really tough. And now having a bunch of left-handed hitters in the lineup, guys that can draw walks, guys that can make contact, I just think the lineup is so much deeper and longer, even without Ronald, than it was a year ago in the playoffs against them. So I'm just excited about that depth. We're trying to build a lineup that we're not so reliant on one guy or the top half of the lineup or the bottom. You want to be nine deep where guys slump, guys get hurt. You still can get the job done. So when Ronald comes back, I like our lineup as much as anyone's in the NL.
And by the way, I can't just gloss over it. Drake Baldwin starting here. We're good here. We're going to get this young man a show here, and you're good with this?
Yeah, he's going to get every opportunity to be the starter. Guys love throwing to him. He's good defensively. It's a great at-bat. Draws walks. Has tremendous power, especially to the opposite field, and will use the whole field and cut his swing down. So, we're excited about him. That being said, this is his first taste of the big leagues. He has not faced guys like King and Cease and Gwinnett. He's never seen guys like that other than a spring training game. So it'll be a good test for him, but he's going to give you a good at-bat, and that's a big part of it as well, just getting the starter out of the game, getting to the bullpen, and just grinding at-bats for the guys behind him.
All right, final question here, Alex. I do appreciate you taking a lot of time, but it is a deep dive for all Braves fans getting ready for the opener tomorrow. We know the Mets will melt down in June. They always do. The Phillies just drive us nuts. We hate them. We get that. It's really not about those teams. It's about you. What would you say this team right now, your sense of them as they begin the year, what's their focus? Because every team is unique, right? I mean, every team's got something different to it, you know, even if it's essentially the same guys. How do you kind of view this team? Is it workmanlike? Do they feel like they have unfinished business? Where do you think these guys fall in that?
You know, it's very interesting you ask that because, you know, I'm around them all the time, and it's the only team I'm around, so I can compare it to other teams I've been with in the past, whether that's with the Dodgers or the Blue Jays, but I've been here now going into my eighth year. So I ask a lot of players that come from the outside that have been on winning teams, you know, how do we compare? What is it like? What do you see? And I'm not looking for compliments by any stretch, just an honest, candid, organic conversation. And I was with profile on one of the night games in the training room, and he was there. He's just rehabbing his wrist and getting ready to play in a few days at that time. And I said, I'm just curious, you came from a really good clubhouse that's winning a lot of games and so on. I said, what do you notice about our place? What do you think? He said, and it wasn't a criticism of anybody else, he said, what I've noticed is this team is really together. The entire team is together. And he put his hands together like in a lock form. And a lot of times you'll have cliques, right? The Latin players will hang out with the Latin players, the Americans and so on, or, you know, the position players, the relievers hang out and so on. And that's what you strive for as a GM. You want to have harmony. You want to have unity. You want these guys to get together. There's a sense of pride. Obviously, you want to win games, of course. But when you walk down there and you know it's organic, it's authentic, these guys truly enjoy being around each other, playing with each other. I think the fans see it on TV as well. And I didn't realize that as a young GM. I did later in my time in Toronto, and I really started paying attention to that. But everyone says the same thing. This team is together. They get along, but they're very professional, and they go about their work. And the work ethic is very high, and they will notice. You know, there's been some moments where we're bringing in a guy on a minor league deal or whatever it might be, and you can tell if the guy's not working as hard as he should. You kind of get shunned by the group a little bit, or you hear some comments, oh, that guy's not putting in the work and the time. And so I love that, you know, people talk about culture, and, you know, we don't have any type of manual when someone shows up and says, play every day, work hard, and so on. I think it's the most overused word in sports. I know it's real, and it's definitely a thing, but the players you get make the culture. And that's when people say, what's the Braves culture? It's go through the 26 players on the roster. That's the culture. And the players will change, obviously, year to year. And look, at the end of the day, you're being selective on who you bring in. But, you know, we didn't tell Matt Olson to play every day. We acquired him partly because he did play every day. And there's certain makeup that comes with that. And guys that are good teammates, Chris Sale. And so we didn't teach Chris Sale or give him. So you flood the clubhouse with those guys. That creates the culture. And that's not the same. And it's the same thing with the coaches, the manager, and so on. I think it starts with the selection of the staff and the people, and then, in my mind, the culture happens. I don't believe we're going to come in and change it. You change it with the people. That's my view.
Well, I apologize in advance for anything I might say revolving around the word parade between now and November. That's just me, though. That's the way I roll. Sorry if that's the way. Don't mean to check. Not putting any pressure on you. Just saying I have high hopes and high expectations for this team. Alex, thanks very much for taking your time. We are really looking forward to opening day tomorrow. Thanks much.
No, really appreciate it. And I hadn't been on with you in a long time, but I did want to tell you that I love listening to you and Hugh, John and Hugh in the morning. It was awesome. You know, I definitely miss having you guys on. I know Hugh went on to Philly, and I know that was great for his career too, but I know you're on Saturdays at time. And I find, because you've been in Atlanta sports for so long, I've learned more about Atlanta sports listening to you. You talk about the Swampers, talk about all the different events in Atlanta, and I find your diehard passion for the city. I enjoy it, and I would tell you, and I tell Mike Conti this, he's got a great voice, you have a great voice. I'd say we need more of you on the air, because I think it's quality takes. And I wasn't going to tell you this at the start, because I didn't want it to look like I was trying to set up the interview, but I definitely enjoy you as a fan, because when it comes to the Falcons and the Hawks, I do tune out when it's Braves, because I don't want to be impacted. I love hearing your take. So I'm going to continue to enjoy it during the year.
I appreciate that. And Alex, we'll talk again. Yeah, no, best of luck. Get some rest and get out there and come home from the West Coast, and let's get this thing kicked off. Thanks much. Do appreciate it.
Great. All right, John. Appreciate it.